Our text this morning is taken from the book of Joshua, the first reading, Joshua chapter 1 at verse 9, where we read, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Even on the ground, and certainly in retirement, any members of the parachute regiment or the airborne forces, in itself a lifelong badge of belonging, when one hears overhead the familiar noise or sound of a C-130 Hercules aircraft, or whatever plane you nervously boarded to jump out of, you can be taken in an instant back to that RAF hangar or wherever you were about to nervously board. You can almost relive the atmosphere and the noise and the smell and the keen sense of either anticipation or fear, or perhaps a healthy mixture of both, when those around you were demonstrating their ultimate characteristics, either in becoming over-talkative, hyperactive, or uncharacteristically quiet, and in many cases simply falling asleep. And then you're off. And that spirit of togetherness, not least in your stick that goes on board that you'll jump with. And all of us, unlike so many whom we remember and give thanks for this day and upon our every remembrance of them, all of us here present are still living to tell our tales. For my own part, as a padre or as a chaplain, you could be either the receiver or focus of intimate confidences, anxieties, or messages, or the butt of much well-meaning humor, such as, "I'm so glad that you're with us today, Sky Pilot." Or, "Are you bothering to wear a parachute, Padre? Will you need one?" Or perhaps most memorably of all, "Which way are you going today, Padre? Are you going up to heaven or down with us?" In preparing for this morning's service, I know that the Parachute Regimental Association in Scotland is not only so grateful to the minister and Kirk Session and congregation of this historic Dunfermline Abbey, but also for the graciousness of your welcome and the generosity of your hospitality in allowing and inviting the Parachute Regimental Association here in Scotland to muster and so to share in your beautiful morning service. And to the Master of Music and the choir, what a wonderful anthem. And to Tellus Russell Band, what a marvelous gathering, would you not all agree, ladies and gentlemen, for this morning service. If I may say so, it is a particular honor for me personally to have been invited to speak in a place and in such a historic abbey, a historic place for Scotland, which I, along with so many fellow Scots of succeeding generations, have respected and admired, albeit until now, from afar. The word para, P-A-R-A, para, interestingly, in the original Greek translation, means alongside of, para, alongside of. Which definition should appeal to each and every member of the PRA gathered here today? Para, alongside of. But more than that, the word parakletos, which Christians of all generations know as the Greek word for the Holy Spirit, parakletos. It can be split, therefore, into two parts, two complementary meanings, para and kletos. Firstly, para, alongside of, and secondly, kletos, which is translated, is one who's designated to you. Alongside of, para, kletos, one who is designated to you. Perhaps this is the ancient and timeless way of referring to what is known in the army as the buddy-buddy system. One goes, one waits. One goes, one waits. Always having your buddy's back. Always looking out for your body. And how similar that is to the Christian experience of the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit through which Jesus lived and died and rose again, promising that in his Father's house there would be many mansions, and that he was going ahead of us to prepare a place for us, that where I am, there ye may be also. And in the meantime, said Jesus, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you, said Jesus, as the world gives to you, that passing piece of fancy. No, I give you something that's in your heart and will live in your heart forever. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. A few weeks ago, I attended a wedding wherein the joy of the bride and groom were as vivid as ever, but where the lack of spiritual awareness, the life of the Spirit, caused several people to feel somewhat short-changed within their particular desire to wish the young couple well. During the reception, I had a long conversation, several, but a long conversation in particular with a man who took time to quietly describe to me some really interesting and difficult and testing and challenging times in his life, in his work and likely in his personal life as well, in his family. It had resulted in he and his wife stepping back together in prayer. And when at the zenith, the really painful point of their despair, which I'm sure we all know in our own lives from time to time, when at the zenith of his despair, their despair, they decided to come to church, which they regularly did, and they went for a walk. And they went for a walk and in the hills. And there came to them in the hills a deep inner sense, a deep inner feeling, a feeling of power, they described it, a sense of a spiritual presence, as it were, a hand on their shoulders, words in their ears. And my new friend said, "I knew it was for real. I felt it from the inside out, and I knew all would be well." Perhaps he was hearing a reflection of the words first heard by Joshua in our text this morning, "Be strong and of good courage, for no matter what happens, I'm with you wherever you go." My wedding companion and now friend turned to his wife for her confirmation, if not assurance. And she was unable to speak because she still felt it so deeply and so gratefully, with tears streaming down her face. There will be many here today with similar tales to tell. Perhaps you, like that couple personally or individually, are going through a crisis in your own life when you simply don't know where to turn and you feel that all the odds are stacked against you. It's then, just as we've said to the children and parents and grandchildren, grandparents of the Sunday school, this is the place to be. This is the place to be. This is the house of prayer. And from here, one can make the walk of faith, perhaps to a special place, to the hills, when in the quietness you can step back a while and let go and let God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the power of the gospel. This is the power of the Paraclete, the Spirit alongside us and who is designated to us. Yes, to you and to me and to all those whom we know and love and remember. Any para, any member of the airborne forces, which is after all a lifelong commission, will tell you that what marks out the red beret, or as the Americans would say, the red beret, is a deep sense or spirit of belonging. You belong to each other, do we not? You know that at best and at worst, your para colleagues or mates or buddies have got your back, and they're always, always looking out for you. And this too reflects the experience of the person who has invested their faith in that young, dynamic carpenter from Nazareth who knows the power of faith and the strength of the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, in their lives, and who cannot but come to worship and to bring their children and grandchildren to Sunday school. It is indeed, as my late father used to say to us when we too had had our fill, perhaps, of church and Sunday school, understandable reservations. My dad used to say to us, "Now, children, one day you'll understand. But this is the only and the best way I know to recharge my batteries week on week, to recharge my batteries." And as with so many things in life, it's perhaps only as we go older that we realize not only the wisdom, but also the sheer common sense of those who've gone on before us. As we look ahead to a new week and the challenges and opportunities which lie ahead, I'm aware that several of us here are carrying many, if not several, burdens. Anxiety about a loved one, tensions at work, at home, fear of losing someone or our health, or hoping to discover or rediscover our purpose in life, and perhaps with a difficult but necessary decision to be made. If that is the case, I have good news for you. You're not alone. Just as the Paris soldier feels his buddy or buddies alongside him, so we have the presence of Jesus through his Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, alongside us every moment of every day, when we are but a breath of a prayer, away from his hand on our shoulder, his word in our ear, and his presence in our lives, no matter what life or death may throw at us. And perhaps nowhere is this more tellingly described than the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we also heard read to us today. The man who was beaten up and bruised couldn't even get up. So battered and bruised was he. But yet the political and religious authorities, figures of the day, saw him and passed by on the other side. Yet it was the Samaritan, the unlikely one, the most unpopular of people in those days, and therefore the least likely, who crossed the road, who bound up his wounds, laid him on his donkey, and took him to a place of rest and recovery, indicating to the innkeeper that he would return, no matter what it cost. It took me half of my ministry, ladies and gentlemen, to realize that Jesus told this parable not merely to encourage us, his listeners, as the parable ends, to go and do likewise, but also that in this parable, Jesus is the central character of this story. He's speaking about himself in this story, and therefore in your story and mine. No matter what may have happened in your past, or may be happening in your present, or will happen in your future, Jesus, in the power of the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, is alongside you and me, for he invented the buddy-buddy system long before the army even thought of it. He is indeed the Good Samaritan, who will know your deepest and innermost thoughts, who will be there for you when you feel battered and bruised, who will bind up your wounds and carry you to an inn of rest and recovery, and who will return again and again to keep an eye on you and to care for your soul and the souls of your families through life and through death to the life that is to come. Very often in his teachings, Jesus refused to give an answer to questions and preferred, in what some educators even to this day find new, if not revolutionary, he preferred to ask people to make up their own minds. Do you remember how often he said, "If you have ears to hear, then let them hear"? He also encouraged his hearers to see themselves as characters, as participants in a parable or a story, and to ask the question, where am I in this story, or where are you in this story? And so I would like to leave you this morning with a story, and then to have a short period of silence before our act of remembrance, during which I would encourage you in the silence, inwardly and quietly, to ask yourself, Where would I have been in that story? In 1942, a company of the Black Watch were uncharacteristically in retreat, and they were operating the buddy-buddy system. One goes, one waits. One goes, one waits. Two young Black Watch soldiers from the same village who had grown up together, been to school together, and they and their families knew each other well. They were buddies. And they, too, were operating the buddy-buddy system that particular day until one of them was shot and went down. The other found himself running away. He knew not why until he reached what's called in the army the FUP, the forming up point. And there he began to consider his actions. And so he went up to the platoon sergeant and said to him, "I must go back. I've known him since we were at school. Our families are close. He's my mate, he's my buddy. I must go back and try and find him." To which the platoon sergeant said, "Don't be daft. He'll be dead by now. And if you go back, you'll be lost as well." The young soldier knew he had to do something. And so he went back to plead this time with the sergeant to let him go and find his lifelong friend, his mate, his buddy. "All right then," said the sergeant reluctantly. "You go back then, and we'll give you 2 hours. If you're not back by then we'll presume you've been lost as well." When the 2 hours was almost up, the young soldier could be seen in the gloaming coming towards the forming up point and carrying his friend on his shoulders. When he reached the others, he laid his friend reverently on the ground, and quickly, as we humans tend to do out of curiosity, quickly others gathered around to see how he was. The sergeant was also swiftly on the scene, and he said to the young soldier, "See, I told you he'd be dead." And the young Black Watch soldier, not long out of school, just a young man, got to his feet. He looked the sergeant squarely in the eye. And he said to him, "He may be dead now, but he wasn't dead when I got to him." And just before he died, he said to me, "I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come."